Hi, I'm Scott Hansman. This is Azure Fridays, and we're here with Jay Haridas talking about storage. We did a storage 101. We learned a little bit about blob storage, but there's another kind of storage. There's table storage.
Yeah, the table storage, which is a NoSQL key lookup store, where you can start kind of thinking in terms of a NoSQL storage, where you can add entities, what we call as entities, and an entity can be up to a 1 megabyte in size. Mm. And you can add those entities, retrieve those entities. You can scan. However, the key, since it's a key lookup store, we prefer the key-based operations are more performant than scans and things like that. And it's basically an OData protocol from a REST perspective. It's all RESTful, and we follow the OData protocol. We support JSON. So, in fact, we recommend using JSON because it's almost 75% more performant than AtomPub. So, yes, we can dig into the kind of demo out here.
So, the table storage is almost like an infinite hash table in the sky, isn't it?
Yes, it scales out. It is an auto load balancing thing. So, you have when you store an entity, you can think of it as a partition key that you provide in that entity. It has some fixed columns called partition key, row key. The combination of partition key and row key is your clustered index. Right? And so you can now create a table and start storing data in that using your partition key and row key. And as the partition key kind of differs, you distribute the data and we load balance to kind of meet your traffic needs. So a single partition can get you up to about 5,000 entities per second. But when you scale out, you can easily saturate your storage account. You can get up to 20,000 entities per second, entity size being about 1 kilobyte in size.
There's an Azure fan, Troy Hunt, who had a several hundred million record situation. He figured he would put all that in SQL Server, and it was going to cost him thousands of dollars a month, and it was really rather slow. He put it in table storage. It was actually so fast, he had to put it in artificial pause.
Yes.
Because it was coming back in milliseconds.
Yes. All these things, and in fact, when he tried, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think he used JSON because that thing came out.
That's a good question. It would be faster,
or maybe he'll have to increase his sleep time now, given that JSON is a lot more faster than AtomPub. In fact, we have shown demos where there's a 75% reduction in your payload size. You can go to JSON minimal metadata, and it's really simple protocol. We'll see it in Fiddler where it's just your name value pairs that you're sending for your entity as such.
So if your data is appropriately shaped and that a table storage lookup would work for you, you should definitely be thinking about that rather than a classical database storage.
Yes. Xbox is a heavy user of Azure Tables. Most of the data lives in Azure Table. And they have designed their application for key lookup stores. For example, in a game title, it's a key lookup. An Azure user, kind of, it's a key lookup. An Xbox game ID or game save. Everything you can think of is a kind of a key lookup for them with additional properties within that entity as such. And so all this perfectly fits in Azure Table.
And it's interesting because you said they designed their application. They had to think about it. You give a little thought. In the case of Troy Hunt, he used the domain name as his partition key.
Right. It's very funny that people, once they get used to thinking in terms of NoSQL, they love it. But it's a shift because there are a lot of books on how do you design for relational tables and things of that, right?
Right.
But NoSQL Store, it almost is application specific.
Yes.
So you get your application specific, you figure out what your access patterns are, and then you start designing for that. So your access patterns and your domain knowledge of what properties are and how it's going to be accessed is what drives the design almost every time. And so that's kind of the way I would really recommend our users to think in terms of while using Azure Tables.
What did you put into your table here?
So this is just a simple thing. It's a customer name. And for my access pattern, I wanted to figure out with states, right? I have customers in each state, and I have a company name. So what I've done here is I've used the partition key as the state ID out here, and row key as some name of the company. And all I'm very kind of innovative in my naming, as you see. So I've just used Washington as a state, and the company names are just some company and things of that. Anyway, so this is what I have out here. And the access pattern out here, and I can, there are pros and cons of this design that I've just mentioned out here. If you have a smaller throughput limit or requirements from request perspective, this works great. Because now I need to figure out, okay, what customers I have in Washington, great. Now if I become a larger customer, and in Washington itself I have 1 million customers, this is not so great because now your partition key is Washington, and you don't scale out, and all your requests per second would go to a single partition, which is not great. So there are pros and cons, but I wanted to take the simple design of saying, hey, I don't have too much kind of request requirements as such, but I'm a simple table, and I want to use Azure Table because it's cheap, right? And it's a simple access pattern. I don't have any secondary indices, which we don't provide. I don't have any joins that I need to do and things like that. So I'm thinking in terms of a simple data model, and this is what I have, customer.
So it's key lookup for a customer. If I wanted to find people by zip code, this would not be the way to do it.
Yeah, this would not be because it would, this is your clustered index. Partition key and your row key together becomes your clustered index.
And if I don't know their row key, I'm going to have a lot of trouble finding this.
In fact, if you don't know your partition key, it's a table scan. If you know your partition key and you don't know your row key, it's going to be a partition scan. So you're not scanning your entire table. However, if your partition is 1 million entities, you're scanning all those 1 million entities.
Right.
And so when you design it, always think in terms of, okay, what do I have for my access pattern? Do I always have a state? Yes, great, okay. In other cases, do I have a company name? Yes, so I have a state and a company name, I can get to this. So there are very innovative ways, but it's kind of more advanced, so we can cover that in a future segment maybe. So think in terms of, this is your clustered index. So if you're, if you're designing a simple table in a relational store, you would make sure that this is your key, your clustered index, right? So it's very similar to that. I've chosen state and row key out here. And this customer entity itself, if you look at it, it's a very simple thing. I have derived it from table entity. I have a company address email out here. And I have my partition key and row key, which I derive from my table entity.
And we point out that the state is not here because that's the thing that you know.
Yes, yes. And so, out here, I've created these three customers, all of whom, pardon my lack of innovation in naming, but yeah, I have
one is from Washington, one's from California, and this one is perhaps from Zimbabwe, I'm not sure.
Yeah, some country, I guess. So I have these kind of codes out here, right? What I can then do is, once I've created the table, very similarly, let's just go to the top. That we have now defined the data model. It's very similar to what we discussed in blobs. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You create the cloud table client, you get the table reference, and then you create if does not exist.
Right.
Again, don't do this. Do this in a one-time setup.
Right.
This is my just 101 demo. But if you're writing an application, this would be in your one-time setup. So that you don't run every time you add an entity, you don't have to check if the table exists.
Right.
Right. And so you do that, and then I create these three customers. And I add them. I've used insert or replace for the benefit of this demo because I had to test this before. So insert or replace, what it does is an upsert kind of operation. So it doesn't care if the entity already exists or it does not exist. It's just going to update it if it exists or insert it if it does not exist. So I've used that so that it doesn't barf when I do it. If I use an insert only operation, it's going to barf because these entities are already present.
Right.
Right. And so, these are, I've inserted these three entities as such. And then I have a simple query out here which generates a, where I've used my partition key. And I said, get me all the customers where my partition key is Washington, right?
And doing it in this way in C# code is going to generate the appropriate RESTful
link. OData query which sends it across. And let's just execute this. And of course, once I do that, I do an execute query segmented. It is very important to do execute query segmented, especially for large tables, because it does pagination as such. It goes, you get continuation tokens by the service. The service never returns 1 million entities in one shot. So you have to do this kind of execute query segmented, and then you do a for each on each one of these, and
so
get
here,
the result.
Here you're showing how you would do it if you had a huge amount of data, because
yes.
we know that we only have a few.
Yes.
For this demo,
precisely.
You're doing
yes.
an execute.
So that's the thing which this is meant for. If you're going through basically a million rows, then you would have to do this. This is meant for just a simple table out here. So I'm going to just comment this out. And then this is what I have. So let's just execute. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to stop this because I have my blob demo still. Oh, it wasn't the table.
Yeah, and the performance when your data is shaped appropriately cannot be understated. It really is really extraordinary.
Yes. And I have my fiddler running out here.
So there's you making your, up there you have tables at Fry's. It's actually surprisingly readable.
Yes. And this is using JSON minimal metadata. And so
which
this
is that new one that we should talk to our friend Troy about.
Yes. And if you look at the protocol, it's just simple.
Let's look at the raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really extremely tight.
Yeah. So this is, if you compare it with our older protocol of OData, AtomPub,
mm-hmm.
AtomPub itself, this would have just been headers, and you would get more gunk along with it, which is not of much use.
Not for a simple call like this.
Yeah, not for a simple call like this. So that's why we recommend everybody actually, and our storage client library by default uses this protocol just because it gives you more performance.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so now we create these three customer instances, and then let me just execute one of them, and we can have a look at this. And again, if you look at what has been sent, very simple out here. It's minimal metadata again. It's all strings, and it sends across all
right,
the data.
A JSON serialized version of your table entity.
Yes. And in fact, when you kind of, and this is what the put request is for insert or replace, for post would have been
an insert.
Insert. And again, out here, it's all this is OData related headers that you need. Your client request ID, as I explained before, it's used for things, for basically end-to-end tracing, and then you have your authorization, which is always needed. But this is kind of your simple entity insert that you do. Let's just skip over the next few and generate this and execute the query. If you look at this, this is, again, a put. The query has not been issued
yet.
Happens
on the first for loop there.
Yes. So when I go and actually
go
through
it,
and this is your
yeah,
query.
And it's, there you go, $filter partition key equals WA.
Yeah. So this is your OData, again, syntax for the query as such, where you have your $filter,
mm-hmm.
and we could kind of add more things to it. It can be a complex query, or rather, more simpler key lookup, where partition key equal to Washington and row key is equal to some company one or something of that sort, whatever the value is. And that would have been an entity lookup. This, though it returns a single entity, is still a partition scan,
mm.
Though there's only one entity in that partition. So that's kind of the thing. It's going to go and now look up all your entities.
Right, and I noticed it's streaming and it's chunked.
Yes. And so this is your simple table demo as such, which you can use. It's pretty cheap to store table entities. And like I said, you can get up to 20,000 entities per second, which is, for a large-scale application, that's they're driving more than that. And so, for example, Xbox and Skype, who's also a heavy table user.
Yeah, and for lots of great detail from a very reasonably sized application, take a look at Troy Hunt's blog
yes.
at troyhunt.com. He's doing hundreds and hundreds of millions of lookups. It's pretty
yes.
interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We're learning all about table storage here on Azure Friday.